Okay, I want you to think about the cross for just about a minute in silence. To think about the cross, I want you to think, what does that cross mean to you? What would you do for that cross? When you see the cross, what do you think? When you hear about the cross, what do you think, believe? What are you compelled to do? Just, I want you to think about what the cross means to you. What does it mean to you? This is a cross that stands high above the city of Dubrovnik. If any of you have ever been to Dubrovnik, this cross stands on the mountain behind Dubrovnik and at times of the day casts a most beautiful shadow over Dubrovnik. During the Balkan War, it was destroyed, but they rebuilt it. And it stands hugely symbolically, casting a shadow over that amazing city. If you've never been, go. That's my bit for the Croatian Tourist Board. Definitely, definitely go. I've been privileged to travel, as you know, because I talk about it a lot, all over the place. And we're remarkably well built as human beings to enjoy what God has created, aren't we? Anybody know where that is? That is the Gap of Dunloe, all right, down in Killarney. And went there one spring and stood on a bridge and took the picture looking back. Beautiful day, could appreciate all of God's creation. It was cold, but I was wrapped up. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And then this next one, that's a sunset. Do you remember those 3 weeks when I was away there on holidays? You know, that Simon told you I was on holidays? Yeah, I'm just going to perpetuate that myth. And this was a sunset off the coast of Massachusetts. We can easily explore God's world. There's not too many places that we are not built to go in God's creation. We can even make submarines and get to the depths of the Marianas Trench, the deepest part of our world. It's pretty black and cold down there, but we can go there. We have the abilities, the capabilities, and our physical bodies are good. We know that we love to stand outside. Nothing better than this morning standing outside welcoming you in because the sun was beating down on me. My body enjoys the sun. We are built for the creation that God made for us to enjoy. We are built for it. Our physical makeup permits us to do the many, many things that we do, go to the top of Everest, the bottom of the Marianas Trench. We can do all of this. We can do all of this. But as you know, I'm a little bit of a space nerd. So there is a man on the moon. Now, he's not too well built for being there. This is Arnie Astronaut. I just made that up yesterday because I couldn't think of any other alliteration. So this is Arnie Astronaut. Right, so Neil Armstrong can stand on the moon because Neil Armstrong has built a suit around him to allow him to exist in that environment. Isn't that right? He couldn't be there. If he got the tiniest pinprick in the suit, he would be dead within seconds. Because he's not built to live in that environment. Right? He's not built to live in that environment. And you see, this passage today is telling us that as we sit here and right now, we are not built for the heavenly realms. What we're, how we exist at the minute, we are not built for it. This is a passage about resurrection. This is a passage about resurrection bodies. This is a passage about what comes next. It's a hugely challenging passage. I think we need to have a Bible study about this passage, because if I were to go through it line by line and tear it apart for you, we would be here well past lunchtime. It is packed full of teaching points. But one massive challenge. What do you do with the resurrection? What do you do with the resurrection? You see, the central character of our faith is Jesus Christ. The central moment that makes it all fit together and explains it all is the resurrection. If you're not a Christian sitting here this morning, regardless of what Jesus may or may not say, how you answer the central point about whether he rose again or not, that will be one of the defining questions you will ever ask yourself. Because if you say, yes, it happened, and it did, well, then that changes your life. That changes your entire perspective. That's a big moment, and I'm understating it. What do you do with the resurrection? When we were born, we got these beautiful baby bodies. And these baby bodies grew. And they're fit for earth, and they're physical. We're made for purpose. We're fit for purpose to live and dwell on this earth. But Jesus told us what? That we had to be born again. That we had to be born again. So that the earthly and the physical could become the heavenly and the spiritual. Okay, now we're moving in the right direction. We're born again in the person of Jesus Christ, and when he comes again, we will get the heavenly body that is needed for us to dwell in the heavenly realm. We must be born again. First birth, earthly and physical. Second birth, heavenly and spiritual. You must be born again, and you can't go anywhere in Northern Ireland without seeing it written somewhere, etched on trees, painted on walls, daubed on posters. We Christians must be the greatest graffiti offenders in the whole of this island, because we plaster it alongside John 3:16 everywhere. You must be born again. First birth, earthly and physical. Second birth, heavenly and spiritual. Now we're becoming something fit for the heavenly realm, fit for the purpose, ultimate purpose of why we were made, which is for the worship of the Creator. And this passage is Paul talking to the Corinthians and explaining the move towards the imperishable body, that is the heavenly body, that we will receive when he comes again. And it's full of huge, ginormous theological statements and impact. But the challenge for you and for me is, what are we doing with the resurrection? And when you see the cross, what do you see? What do you see? Would anybody like to eat those? Does anybody know what they are? Pardon? No. They're apple seeds. That's an apple. Yeah? No. Yeah? Well, it is, isn't it? Now, I haven't given you a picture of an apple that comes next because you all know what apples look like. Right? So this goes in the ground and turns into an apple. Now, we like apples. We can eat apples. We look at a beautiful, I don't know what your favorite apple is. Mine's Golden Delicious. Right? Lovely, crunchy, juicy apple. But that's how it started out. Yuck. Right? Not very nice. But when we put it in the ground, what happens to it first? Before it produces the apple, what happens to the seed? It dies. It dies. And when you look at this passage, and then you reflect on the world around us, our God has written into nature the narrative of the resurrection. Because we get nothing that we see growing around us unless something first dies. It dies, it's buried, and then it gives off, it gives us fruit. And we want the fruit bit. We want the apples. I'm not going into Sainsbury's or Tesco's or any other notable supermarket and buying that at the fruit and veg stand. But I will buy the beautiful Golden Delicious apples. Well, we didn't get the beautiful Golden Delicious apples unless that seed was died and was buried. And then it rose again as an apple. All right, it rose again as an apple. Which then leads to this statement which Paul is really saying to us in this passage, and it's a tough one. Unless you die, you can't live. Now, you see, the world around us reads that and goes, that guy's nuts. That guy's talking total rubbish. Unless you die, you can't live. But unless we die to sin and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and embrace the resurrection, we don't really live. And that's what this passage is saying to us. John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless we die to sin and are born again in Christ, we can't even see it, envisage it, comprehend it, understand it. No point in even trying to draw a picture of it because we're not even at the starting point for knowing what we should be drawing or doing or saying or thinking. We must be born again. We must be born again. John 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You die to sin. You rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Something we've just portrayed here. And then you start to bear fruit. You, me, everyone here, that's what we do. We bear fruit. I find that fascinating. And the challenge remains, what are you doing and saying and thinking about the resurrection? What are you doing with it? Because upon it, our faith is built. Upon it, our faith is built. I don't know whether you can read that or not. This is our favorite guy, Mr. Tozer. And he says this, "Why is it easier to talk about revival than to experience it? Because followers of Christ must become personally and..." I can't even read my small print here. "And vitally involved in the death and resurrection of Christ. And this requires repentance, prayer, watchfulness, self-denial, detachment from the world, humility, obedience, and cross-carrying." In other words, there's no point just talking about revival. There's no just point just talking about seeing the gospel spread. There's no point just talking about seeing the kingdom grow. We must engage in it, and that involves us getting vitally involved in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not seeing it as something that we celebrate at Easter or mark and portray with a baptism like we did this morning, but daily, daily, daily getting involved in repentance, prayer, watchfulness, self-denial, detachment from the world, humility, obedience, and cross-carrying. A thoroughly proactive way of getting involved, of making the resurrection real, not something we just talk about, but making it real. And the importance of making it real is what Paul is spelling out to the Corinthians, and he's saying some of it's mysterious. And he uses this beautiful language, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." And if you were reading the Greek on that, you would see a word that you would recognize. Because the word for moment is atomos, which is the smallest amount of Greek time, and it's from which we get our word atom, the smallest thing that we know. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll put on our heavenly bodies and we can go where we're supposed to go. Fully equipped, we'll be able to see. Do it. But it involves dying first, dying to sin, being born again, being born again. Now you might say to yourself, so what? So what? But for me, the most powerful verse in this comes right at the end of the passage that Stephanie read for us. And it's verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Look at the language. My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, that's a powerful declaration to the faithful in Jesus Christ, because the resurrection should mean this. Get on with it. Don't just talk about it. Get on with it. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And anyone who doesn't think that being steadfast and immovable in our current times is something to worry about, we must be steadfast. We must be immovable. We must always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that it's never in vain. In other words, take risks. Get on with it. Don't be afraid. You have the imperishable body. It's coming your way, and you will have the eyes to see the kingdom, and you will be there because you died first, and then you were born again. Don't hold back. The passage is saying, once it's explained the resurrection to the people of God and they fully comprehend it and are engaged with it, he's saying, don't hold back. And C.S. Lewis says it much, 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 much better than me. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Isn't that lovely? I'll read it to you again. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will ever really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Don't hold back. It makes no sense whatsoever for the people of God to hold back when they have the most beautiful gift of life within them. It makes no sense in our world to complain about the stuff that's going on when we have the answer that is Jesus Christ, symbolized at the cross and then the resurrection, and we don't share it. It makes absolutely no sense not to engage with people and tell them the joyful, good, amazing, brilliant news of Jesus Christ. That he's coming again. That he wants you to have a heavenly body. Imperishable. But the challenge remains that you got to die first. You got to die to sin. You got to be born again for the spiritual and heavenly place that you'll be going to, fit for purpose, ready to go. And if you're ready to go, don't hold back now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. We ask you, Lord, to send your Spirit now to come in power and move in our hearts. Highlight there, Lord, anything that needs to die that we might live. And Father, if there are people here this morning who are hearing this message for the very first time and want to come forward and die to sin and rise again in Christ, then please, please, please move their feet at the end of this service. Please, please move their feet at the end of this service. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you rose again, and we thank you that you're coming back. In the meantime, Lord, help us to do everything in your power alone to spread your message of the good news to the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.